Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. This is our final day. I think it's going to be a fulfilling day. That's my hope, is that it's a fulfilling day and kind of helps bring to completion everything we've done. Let's see, we're still missing Brenda and, oh, Kathleen's here and Kelsey. There we come. All right. So, I don't think Steve's going to make it. He's just got a lot going on and he's had to kind of put the program on pause for a bit. And so he's still part of your group, but he hasn't been able to make it for the last several and not today either. So let's just know that he will be back. So let's start with a meditation. Let's just go kind of almost back to the beginning. Start with the meditation. So find your seats. Take a moment to settle into your body right here, right now. And let's begin with a resurrection breath. And as we come forward, we'll move into three-part breaths. Inhale. When those are complete, take a moment to just notice any shift, enjoy any settling. And now let's each do a three-part breath using the relaxation breath to soften from our crown to our toes. Begin. Take a moment to notice any place of particular tightness or gripping and use the breath to open and release to bring some softness to that area. And do two more of those and then release the technique. And now we're going to do another resurrection breath. And as we come forward, we're going to move right into sipping breath. We haven't done this in a long time. It's like greeting an old friend. Let's begin. Now we'll do 3E mantra. I encourage you to do, I'm going to do 3. You do your E mantra. Don't try to imitate mine. Let's begin. E. Now very gently, let your attention move over to the breath and find a nice balanced counting breath that works for you today. We're going to stay here for just about a minute or so to help you use this to settle your mind in case your mind is still a little active. Use the count, this balance count as your anchor. And now let's move into some Ujjayi breath. So find your Ujjayi breath. If you can, doubling the count of your inhale and exhale. But get there gradually. If you haven't found the pause, introduce a pause at the bottom and top of the breath. And after your next exhale, pause and then release the technique. Now let's do just a few rounds of alternate nostril breathing. So bring your right hand up and go at your own pace. Do three rounds. And as you complete your rounds of alternate nostril breathing, gently release your hand, float in the after effect, and then just slip into Hong Sao. We'll do a few more, just two or three more Hong Sa. And then release the technique. And now gently bring your right hand to your heart. Place your left hand over your right. And on your own, say the loving kindness blessing to yourself. Not the one we're doing in class right now, right? The group meditation. It's the one that starts, may I be at ease. May I feel safe and protected. So let's do that, each of us, for ourselves. And now send it out. Say it for someone else. Say it for one other person. And now send it out to all beings. And now gently release your hands. And let's very gently and softly together do an Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Inhale. Om. Now smile as you say it. Shanti. Shanti, Shanti. And here you are, my dears, officially completing the program today. No guidance. I just named it and you did it. And you knew what to do. And if you didn't know what to do, it's been so long since, you know, we've done some of those things together, but maybe this is kind of the core practice I do. And it's the one I gave you in the beginning. And it's the one, you know, hopefully you've been working with to some degree, but So there you are. No guidance. You did it on your own. And if any questions came to your head, like, wait, what am I supposed to do here? You know, you've got the resources on the web to go find it, right? You do. So with that, oh, where do I start? I've got a list of things to do and I'm not sure of the order to do them in. So I know what we are going to do today is we're going to take time for each one of you. Okay. And, we'll kind of intersperse it. We're not going, cause there's nine of you, right? But we want to take time for me to acknowledge you, but also for you each to acknowledge each other and maybe share a little bit about what you've enjoyed about that person when it's their time. And so I just want you to know that so you can maybe be thinking in the back of your head a little bit as you look around the screen and, you know, and it doesn't matter if if you just want to share a memory or if there's something in particular, but there's two reasons for doing this. One is because it's really, I think you are an incredible group. You are a very, very special group. I really want you to know that. And I think it's good for all of you to take that time to have that moment to acknowledge somebody that you can't see in person, right? And just your moment with them. But at the same time, it's part of our training is to learn how to acknowledge people, you know, and to recognize, to see them, to recognize them, to notice them, right? That's part of what we're our path. So it's both things for you. And, but I'm also going to teach you one more technique today. And it's one many of you know and some of you don't know, but it's kind of like the signature technique that our lineage has brought to the meditation world. It came through Yogananda, so I'm assuming he got it from his guru, and it's been passed down, and we know it as mountain, meadow, waterfall. And what I'm going to do right now is do it with you. I'm going to just do it with you quickly, because I've learned that there's two ways to do it. One is quickly when everybody stays awake, and two is slowly when everybody falls asleep. Right? I don't know how many of you, we had a retreat and I don't remember which retreat it was. It wasn't this last one. And Mary Beth, who's been doing this for a very long time, she went, oh my God, that's the first time I stayed awake for the whole thing. I had no idea that's what we did at the end. Do you remember that? It was so funny. So what I want to do is take you through it now. And then we'll break it down, and that's kind of what we'll do to finish out this first hour. And then we'll move into the recognition of each one of you and what you've accomplished here. After that. Okay. So this is kind of like our final little precious nugget. So be comfy, but not so comfy you're going to fall asleep. And I am going to have your journal nearby because I'm going to ask you to write down what you experience. So actually, before we even start, why don't you get your journal and write down meadow, write down forest, write down mountain, write down waterfall. So those are the four stages of the meditation. And that way, when you go to write it down afterwards, it'll help you, structure your experience. Help jog your mind. Okay. All right. So with that, now let's get comfy, but not too comfy. All right, beautiful ones. In your seats. And on your own, take that nice few deep breaths. And as you exhale, soften, soften your body. Releasing any residual tightness. And see if you can settle into a place of stillness in the body. And then lifting your gaze to the screen of your mind. Imagine or sense that you are in a meadow. And as you're in this meadow, see if you can notice the colors around you. What is around you? Give yourself a moment to listen to the sounds of your meadow or imagine what might be there. And then notice perhaps the breeze against your skin or the sun on your skin. And if you can, imagine that you're actually walking and moving in this meadow and sensing the earth, the texture of the earth. Imagine maybe you can reach out and touch something here in your meadow. And then let's take a moment to inhale and just imagine you can smell the fragrance of your meadow. And as you continue to move around your meadow, you look to your left and you see trees and you walk towards those trees. And as you come closer, you see a path and you choose to follow the path. And as you do, as you start in along the path, you notice that the trees are getting closer together. You notice that the path is descending. And you continue to follow it, noticing the texture of the ground under your feet, noticing the colors and the shapes around you, noticing the fragrance, the smell, noticing that the trees are getting closer and it's getting shadier and the air is cooler on your skin. You continue to move down this path, descending down deeper and deeper. The trees get closer and closer together until it becomes very cool and dark, and you continue to descend along this path. And then you notice that you've actually come to the point where the path levels out. And as you walk along this path, you notice there's a little stream next to you. You can hear it. And you continue walking and walking along the path. And as you look forward, you notice that there are beams of light breaking through between some of the branches of the trees ahead of you. And you walk towards those rays of light. And as you come closer, you notice that the trees are thinning. And you realize that your path has opened up. As you leave the forest, it's opened up and before you is a mountain. And the path continues up the mountain. So you follow the path. And you begin to climb. You begin to ascend up the mountain, up, 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 following the path until you come to a place about halfway up the mountain. And here you are, halfway up the mountain, and you're ready for a little rest. And as you gaze down, you notice that there is a shrine that has been left by travelers before you on this path. And just notice, what is this shrine? What is this shrine like? And as you gaze at it, as you look at it, you notice you see speckles of light bouncing off of it. And you look, what is the source of this light? And you see that there is another path now that leads into the mountain. And you follow the path. And as you follow this path, you see the light sparkling off the trees or the sides of the mountain, whatever's there for you. And as you come around a bend, you see before you a crystal clear pool of water. And you come to the edge of this pool, and as you gaze in, you can see clear to the bottom. You can see your own reflection. The waters are so still. And so you choose to dive in. And as you do, as you dive in, your clothes magically just dissolve. And there you are, swimming free, playing in this water that is the perfect temperature for you, the perfect depth for you. And as you move around in this crystal clear water, you look again to your left and you see the waterfall that is feeding this pool. And now effortlessly, you make your way to the very center of the waterfall. And as you stand in the center of this waterfall, you feel this healing, cleansing waters flowing down over the body. And you realize that these are actually waters of light. And you allow this light to wash down over your whole being, purifying, healing, balancing. And then the water begins to flow in through the top of your head, and you let it flow down. And you trust this light, these waters of light, to find all of the negativity and darkness and heaviness and wash it away. And you allow this light to wash through you and releasing the darkness and the heaviness and letting it flow out through the bottoms of your feet, through the palms of your hands. And as this light washes all of this away, it replaces it with this healing, radiant light. And you are becoming filled with this light. As you release the heaviness, the imbalances, the worries, the fears. And you realize that this light now is beginning to saturate every fiber and cell of your being. And you can feel your cells filling with this light, every cell, and the light saturates every part of your being. And it expands to fill the places between the cells. And you realize you have become this light. And as this light, you now effortlessly begin to rise and lift. And you lift up through the waterfall, up, 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 until you emerge from the top of this waterfall, and there, above you and in front of you, is the top of your mountain. And now you effortlessly ascend up, up, and float to the top of your mountain. And here you come to rest. And as you sit here and rest here at the top of your mountain, your Ishta is here to greet you. Bow to your Ishta and say whatever you would love to say to your Ishta, or nothing if it's nothing to say. And allow the grace and the light and the love and the qualities of your Ishta to flow towards you in this purified state. And as you receive this grace, this light, this love from your Ishta, you realize that everything is perfect. Everything is just as it should be. And as your Ishta comes to stand beside you or rest beside you, you gaze at the world below you. And as you see the world, you can see everything. And you indeed realize that everything is just as it should be. And you rest here content, filled with love and light. Rest here for a few moments. And now thank your Ishta. Say goodbye to your Ishta. And then allow yourself to float gently, gently down back to your meadow. And as you return to the meadow, you know that you can carry this knowing with you, carry this experience with you in your heart, in your mind, in your being, to all you meet. And now inhale. As you exhale, soften once again. And then when you're ready, please write down your experience in your journal. And make a special note about the shrine. I didn't want to mention it ahead of time, but so between the mountain and the waterfall is the shrine and the pool. So make sure to include those experiences. So I'll give you some time here to write all this down. Let's just take a few more, another minute or so. So if you need to just make, you know, kind of notes that will jog your memory for the last couple things. Okay, so we're going to go through it kind of step by step, and I'm going to tell you the magic behind the, I'm going to break it down for you. This is the magic of this technique. And, it is a really powerful technique. Powerful, that's an overused word. I think it's just a really transformative, beautiful technique. And one of the reasons I love meditation is because there are so many of these little techniques, but there are times when a technique like this is what you need. Sometimes you need Tonglen. Sometimes you just need to do Hong Sa, right? Sometimes you're working with, you know, just resistance and attachment. Sometimes you're working with just being present in your body, just staying in your body, present, present, present. But you have all these tools, and this is a technique that works below the conscious level, right? You're literally working with the energies, the pranas. So to start with the meadow, let me give you the breakdown real fast. Meadow, earth plane, your life right here, everyday consciousness. Moving down into the forest, you're moving into your subconscious. Okay. So into your subconscious. When we move, we go up the mountain, we are now moving up the chakric tree? We are moving up the planes of consciousness from the subconscious to the conscious. We are moving up, 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 but we're moving up the energy body, the chakra system. When we come to that place halfway up where we rest with the shrine, we are moving into the chakras above. They say the three lower chakras, right? The earth, the water, fire. Those are the three that really kind of ground us in the earth plane. When we start moving, we are existing in the earth plane. We are. At the Mars chakra. Remember we talked about this. The umbilical cord is a symbol of, this is where we've incarnated, at the Mars chakra. Yeah, Lisa.
Can you just go quickly back with the headings just real quick?
Oh, sure.
Where you meadow were, because I was in my head.
I just so appreciate you asking the question, because I know it's, well, there we go. Meadow is earth plane. So it's like you're at the Mars chakra. Okay. It's where we are as humans right now. Then we go down deep into our subconscious, and we go down, 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 and we go deep into the subconscious realms. So there's chakras actually below the earth chakra, the Saturn chakra, that we don't play with, but we go down. We go deep, deep down into our subconscious, our old patternings, and then we begin to ascend back up as we ascend through the mountain. Now, when we get to the shrine, we have moved up into the heart center. Okay. And so it's interesting to just note what is going on in your, at the shrine. And then we travel in to this pool of water, right? And here now we begin the purification process that cleanses us, purifies all of our energy. And when we are purified, we ascend through the waterfall. We ascend up through the throat, and we ascend up to the top of the mountain, which is the sun and the moon. And with our Ishta there, which I just did for you guys. I don't often do Ishta when I'm doing it with a group, right? But with us, we did. Your Ishta is the thousand-petaled lotus and all of the grace flowing in through the thousand-petaled lotus, which is our connection to the all in all, right? And then at the end, we take all of this blessing, all of this grace, and we come back to the meadow, back to the Mars, back to the earth plane to bring back all of that grace with us. Now, you don't explain this when you're doing the meditation with people. You don't. I explain it in the teacher training. I don't explain it other places. Nobody ever explained it to me. I think Kriyananda's got it in the book, Spiritual Science, but it's when I did the training, because it's not important to understand all that. It's important for you as a teacher to understand it now, right? But sometimes if we get too involved in the symbols and what they mean, we stop paying attention and being open to the experience we're having. And it's about the experience you have. It's not about I'm in my subconscious. It's not about I'm moving up through the Mercury chakra to the sun and the moon. It's not about that. It's about the experience you're having. So what I'd like to do for the next 15, 20 minutes is take us through and have you guys share some of your experience at the different places so we can do what we do best, which is recognize that everybody's going to have a different experience, right? And I'm telling you, everybody has different experiences. So would anybody be willing to share, you know, what was your meadow like? Lisa, yeah.
Just the meadow?
For now, yeah, just the meadow.
It was like Austria. It was like the sound of music. It was open, airy, and fresh.
Oh, how beautiful. Okay, and were you comfortable there?
Beautiful. I was singing air? Like, you know, singing, like the sound of music. Oh. It was, yeah, I liked it. A lot better than the forest.
But a lot better than the what?
The forest.
Okay, important point. So hold on to that. Anybody else? How was your meadow? How about one or two more people? Your meadow. April, yeah.
So my meadow is this really, really sacred place in by my brother's place on the Umpqua River. It's called the Ilahi Meadow. And I have been there during the day and as well as at night to watch meteor showers. But in this technique, I'm there during the day and it's like, the grass is tall. It's like up to my knees and it's super soft. And, it's like a wheat field. There's crickets and the sounds of, and there's just, it's very, very visual. I could feel it. It's really warm and, it's beautiful. It's just lovely. And I never want to leave the meadow.
Good thing you get to come back to it, right? Okay. So did anybody have trouble? Is there anybody? And I'm sure there are. There always are, because not every one of us visualizes like that, right? So for those of you who aren't the strong visualization types, what was your meadow like? Anybody? Ramon, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I had a tough time. I mean, growing up in the city, I just couldn't picture. Actually, I had to look it up, to be honest with you. I had to look up what a meadow was. And then I finally found a nice picture of it the other day, and then I just used, that's the one I used to picture it. But I couldn't, nice. I couldn't initially when we, because you did this some Tuesday classes, and I couldn't, and I was just like, I don't even know what a meadow would look like to me, what it would look like. It's just a word.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for that, because I grew up in Hawaii and we don't really have meadows. It's like a meadow. what is a meadow? And so I had to make one up in my head. I went kind of like Lisa, it's kind of like the Sound of Music, but it wasn't that high up in the Alps. It was like, you know, and so, yeah. So Ramon, part of what you can bring to us is how do we translate this for city people? Because there are a lot of people who their lives have been in the city. I have a girlfriend who if she, she goes near grass, she gets sick. It's like, she's like, yeah, get me away from grass. Give me concrete, right? She's a New York, Brooklyn girl, right? So, so what you were able to use that today though?
Yeah. I mean, I looked at, like I said, I looked it up. I looked up what a nice meadow would look like. So I just looked up in pictures and see what the most beautiful meadow I could find online. And then I used that as my visual.
Okay.
That's how I did it.
And that's how you did it today. Yeah. And then when I say things like, you know, feel the breeze on your cheek, the sun on your skin, smell the fragrance, what do you do when those happen?
Well, now, because I live in the burbs, I get those things now. So I get to experience those things. But that's the only reason why. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So meadow, there's lots of ways to experience a meadow. There is no right or wrong meadow, right? There's literally no right or wrong meadow. It's going to be your meadow. And here's what I really want to just impress upon everybody right now, especially as we move forward. This is your visualization. This is your visualization. The words are cues. When I lead a meditation like this, when you do someday, we don't get detailed. We don't say, oh, look at the green grass. Oh, and there's little flowers in it. Oh, look, and there's birds flying. You don't, because everybody's meadow is different. And what we want to do is give just enough to let somebody's own experience come through. Because coming along in the next part, this is where it gets really important. When we start down that path into the forest, it's like what Lisa said. It can be very scary, right? And this is one of the beauties of this technique is when we start certainly for me, as I'm going deeper in the forest, it was like, it was a little scary, but over the years, it's like, there's no fear left. And I can't help but feel that there's a correlation between the fact that I'm not scared anymore. I don't get scared. I don't get scared in my dark house, even if I'm alone. I just don't get scared anymore. And so this journey down is a journey to just notice, oh, look, I'm afraid. Oh, look, I'm scared. Oh, look, what's that? And then to remember that this is your visualization. And you get to say, hey, I don't need to be scared. This is my subconscious. If something comes up, I can look at it. It's an image. It's a projection. It's not reality. I mean, there's so many levels of this technique is so powerful. So anyway, so let's talk about the experience in the forest, because as a few of we talk about it, it'll bring more to the front. Yes, Brenda.
Well, I actually wanted to say talk about what you were just talking about, not specifically the forest, but each time that I've ever done this, I find that I protect myself in each of the areas because of just what my natural response to those would be. So
what does that mean?
Yeah. So for example, my meadow has no flowers, because if I was in a meadow of flowers, I'd be sneezing and, you know, allergic and uncomfortable. And, you know, my mountain is not high because I can't stand being up high. So, you know, and I don't go swimming a lot because I don't like to be, you know, and I would not like to swim in a lake. Like, you know, so all of these things have things that have like major fears. So I just adapt this so that I'm not hung up on that while I'm doing meditation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And little by little, it becomes, as you realize, oh, this is mine. Oh, maybe I could put a little flower in here. Yeah. Hey, look, right? And that's part of, this is not a one-time meditation. This is a meditation that mean, God, I don't know how long I've been doing it. And I'm going to thank you, Brenda, because you just now, I just realized something. I did this recently and I actually had I've had the same meadow and the same pool and the same mountain for decades, 2 decades. And for the first time, I had really, really high mountains and deep, deep. And I was so surprised. It was like, wow, what is it? And I realized it's because I have moved past those fears now. I've became comfortable enough with that I could take on the next higher mountain, right? But now I'm up with Lisa in the Alps finally, you know? It's like, so Brenda, everybody, that's the wisdom, right? This is your visualization. So this is why the words are important. Not to jump ahead, but the pool, the water needs to be the temperature that's comfortable, the depth that's comfortable. If there's somebody who's scared of swimming, then the water needs to be this deep. And we want to make sure that everybody has permission to do exactly what Brenda said, which is adapt for where they are. And this meditation evolves with you over time. Ramon, when you're looking skeptical, or quizzical? Are you thinking, what is a waterfall like?
I was thinking just what Brenda was saying, because I do it the lake or the little stream that we go into, because I am afraid of the ocean, so anything that I can't see through. So I, in my head, I visualize it as rainfall falling on an area that can contain water, but you can see it through it. It may be high, but I can see through it, and there will be nothing underneath it that could attack me or bite me or do whatever it's going to do.
And so is it, when you say it's contained, it's like it's a finite pool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not wide open. It's enough. It's big enough that it's a pool, but it's contained and its source is, it's water, it's rainwater. So that I know where the water's coming from.
Yeah. Oh, good point. But so take a look now at what you just did in your version of the meditation, right? And how did you adapt for you? I mean, I guarantee you, if we went through and everybody shared what kind of forest they had, it was a different kind of forest. Everybody had a different kind of mountain. Some people, Lisa, yeah.
My forest changed as we walked, as we got deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first I felt like, oh, look, there's a path and a forest. And I'm like walking along, mindfully meditating, touching the leaves. And as it got descending, I kind of came out of that mindful meditation and started seeing like it was dark, it was damp, it was cold, there's decay. The ground is marshy, like, and I kind of felt like it was full of tears and it just was so like dead. And then to climb out that's a whole nother experience, but yeah, but that's it. Yes, it never was that before, but
that's a credit. See, this is what you are doing, what you've been learning, which is like, allow it to come. And if it changes in the middle, it changes in the middle, and pay attention to what's there, right? Because as you go through this and as you choose, I mean, if you're enjoying slogging through the marsh, then that's great. If that's fun. If you're not, each time you go in, you make the marsh more solid. You let the marsh become something else. We consciously make these little shifts. So as over the years, me doing my forest, which was this first very threatening, it was dark, like you said, right? And I didn't know what was in there. Was there bears, tigers, right? Now it's safe. It's extremely safe in my forest.
Should it be though? Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like I'm supposed to see what's really there.
You are.
Like, I don't feel like I should be. Like changing it, like I think I should.
It will change on its own. As you walk through and you say, oh, I'm scared. Oh, wait a minute. What am I scared of? This is my visualization. Okay. All right. And at first you're just going to continue to walk, just not, you know, just dealing with fear, right? Processing that as you walk through. So it's a gradual process. It's kind of like it's a dance. Does that answer?
Yeah, I think you're saying like gradually we'll begin to see it differently as we keep coming back to it with the new, new thoughts, new brain, new perspective.
Right. Cause when the fear comes up, we go, oh, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm afraid of, oh, and we look at it and we go, I mean, it sounds weird, but when you say, okay, this is just a visualization of, in my mind. Okay. Let me just work with this fear. This isn't real. There's nothing real here. That's scary. Let me work with that. Okay. Hold on to your hats here. On a deeply mystical level, that's preparing you for this whole process of awakening where we realize that everything is a projection of our, and it's actually preparing us to die, which I think I mentioned in here once, you know, it's preparing us to, as we die, to realize that everything around us are projections of our mind. So that was getting a little deep, but I'm telling you, this technique, this is a Kriya Yoga visualization. It's out there in other forms and it has no city on it. It's lost some of the, you know, because people copy it and they take what they think is, they don't understand what it is. This is carrying a lot of the power of the lineage in it. And I'm breaking it down for you, but we don't need to break it down. Okay. So Agnieszka, you had a question.
Thank you, Karen. I wanted to share that I used to be, and I think I mentioned it in the past, I used to be very afraid of darkness since I was born, basically. So, and I haven't done this technique for, I guess, years, at least a couple years. And actually being in the forest felt the best. I didn't want to, maybe because of the way I feel, but I wanted to be dark and go down. And I almost, when we were coming out and getting cleansed, I felt like, well, so does it mean, I felt like, what's wrong with being in the darkness?
Nothing.
Like I felt very, I don't know, accepting of the darkness when I was there. And then I felt, well, so I guess it's not okay to be in the darkness. Why do we need to come out? Why do we need to cleanse? What's wrong with heaviness and darkness? I went through this.
Nothing. And what do you know now? Like, after what we've said, what would you say now after what we've just said?
I guess it's part of existence, equally important as light.
Yes. In order to appreciate the light, we have to be at peace in the dark. It's and ascending and being infused, we come down and we're okay in the dark. This is the place of glory we talked about last week. You can hold it all. You can hold all of it. Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Agnieszka.
Thank you for explaining it to me.
Lisa, you had one, yeah.
This is more about a teaching question, or if we're leading it. At any point, are we telling people that it's safe in the forest?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
Nope. They have their experience. We don't process. I mean, have we ever processed Mount Meta Waterfall any of the times we've done it? Never. No. So I'm going to tell you guys a little story. This is a teaching story that I use every time I talk about Mount Meta Waterfall like this. And I will sometimes in classes, because this is another Lisa Pruzek story. She's given me several stories over the years. But the first time she did this meditation, do you remember this, Lisa? The first time she did this meditation, Cause I said you jump in the pool and all your clothes dissolve, right? And we came out of the meditation. She went, oh, all I could think of was I'm naked in a pool with Rebecca, another person who was in the class bus. And for years after that, I wouldn't say your clothes dissolve because I was like, oh, okay, let's make it easy on people. But which we'll get to in a little bit. It's an important part of the symbols, right? But Lisa, it's like I had to go gently. Figure out how to go there gently in the meditation.
Well, I still write down that sometimes I laugh because I go, that's where Rebecca saw me naked.
That's what she said. That's where Rebecca saw me naked. That's what it was. Yes.
You were there. I saw you. You were naked.
So, okay. So we're going down. And then the plateauing is important because it's like, okay, we've gone into the depths and we plateau, and then the rays of light coming in are the reminder that nothing is permanent. Everything changes and you can only go so far into the dark and you're going to come out into the light. You cannot get stuck in the darkness. You hear that? You cannot get stuck in the darkness. It's impossible. But we've all been there and we know it feels like we're going to be there forever, doesn't it? It feels, but it's not. And this is where all your training kicks in. Your awareness tells you this won't last forever. It's impossible for it to last forever. It's impossible. Everything is impermanent, which is the lifeline to get you through. Hold your equanimity and just allow the experience to be there. Allow the experience to be there. Allow the experience to be there. Be in the dark. Are you strong enough to be in the dark? And the skills you've gained in meditation make you strong enough to be in the darkness. And your life changes when you know, because it doesn't matter how enlightened we are, how ascended we are, we're all going to have darkness. We're going to have struggles. I still do. The only difference is that now when I do, I can go, whoa, living in a lot of fear. I can curl up in my bed in the morning, put my blanket over my head and go, oh, okay. I'm aware. It's still happening, but we're aware. And when we're aware, we're not collapsing. Does that make sense? So this meditation is a reminder to us that we're always going to have the darkness. We're going to go there, but the light will return. And then we have this mountain. So we found out that Brenda had a not too high mountain, which in the beginning I didn't either, but just out of curiosity, what was your mountain like? What was your path like? How difficult was it to climb up that mountain? Somebody? Ramon, yeah.
My mountain was short too, because I just felt the climbing was, I don't particularly like climbing too high. So it was long enough that you could ascend, but not too quickly.
And was it rocky trees? Was the path easy to follow? It was
like a man-made, trail, like someone had made it so people, but it was narrow, but it was big enough so you can still travel through it comfortably, but still not ascending at a too fast a level, a speed, I should say.
Okay. Symbol for you, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Look how beautiful that is. It's like, we're not doing this. You got a life, you got a wife, you got a kid, you got a job, you got a family. So we're doing this. We're doing it this way. We're going up the mountain this way. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of wisdom in that. A lot of wisdom in that. How many of you went, the mountain. Lisa, April, Kathleen. Yeah. Right. See, everybody's different. Okay. So Kathleen, what was your mountain like? Was it easy to climb or was it hard to climb?
I didn't climb. I floated to the top. I did. So just, yeah, that's, I think I did that in one of your other meditations before, but yeah, just sort of the, you know, the, what do they call it? Levitating. I levitated to the top. Yeah.
Wait, so you got to the top before the waterfall?
I went, no, when we went to the top, I levitated up. When
but I from just, the base of the mountain up to the shrine, what was that like?
Oh. I was just there. I'm not, I think that was still walking. And my mountain was very, the top of my mountain was very, jagged, snow, like snow covered. There wasn't a lot, it was mostly, like there wasn't a lot of trees and stuff up there. So.
Okay, so that part where we're climbing up to where we find the shrine, right?
Uh-huh.
That part is, that's just for you to just notice how hard are you struggling, right? Ramon had a mimic path. Okay. I'm so impressed. Mine was rocks. I was rock climbing practically, right? Until years, a sunlight went, why are you rock climbing? Why don't you just find a path and go easy, just kind of effortless. But that went along with as my practice was evolving and as I was doing better in life, I wasn't struggling so hard, right? Right. April, yeah.
Well, years past when I would do this, the mountain was always the worst part for me, to be honest. I mean, the forest has changed. It's been super dark and yucky. And then, you know, now it's not so much. The mountain's always been hard because for years it was always the same thing. It was like a reoccurring dream and it was always like shale and it was just slippery and every step was like, I could hear the shale, walking up, trying to get up the mountain. It was just, could never really get to a path. It was, anyway, it was really difficult. And this time, it was, the path was really lovely. And the bolt, it was like boulders I could put my hand on for to step up. It was, entirely different this time. There was no shale. I was like, wow, I even noticed that there's no shale. There's like, it's not, what happened? The mountain completely changed. And and the shrine was different, like completely different this time. So a lot of things changed with this whole meditation. Yeah. I mean, even earlier this week when I did it, it was closer to this, but it wasn't like this. So I was like, this is very interesting.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Laura, I'm curious, how do you do with the mountain?
I was thinking like what would be like, it was easy, but not that I'm going through an easy thing, but I'm like, well, I want it to be easy. So I'm going to put like a clear path and I want, like I made it better.
Good. Nice. Yes. 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 Okay. So it's still important to keep the path, right? It is part of whether or not we struggle or suffer going up it. Remember, that's part of our growth, right? But we still climb, we ascend up the mountain, climbing up the mountain till we come to the halfway point where we find the shrine. And this is always really fascinating. You know, what was your shrine like? Laura, what was your shrine like?
It's all gold. It looked like ruins, like you would see in Mexico, except for gold. And
wow, nice. Okay. Somebody else? Somebody have something similar or different? Different, maybe?
Mine was similar to what I have here at home. Like it was sort of set up like it, I have at home, and there was, you know, and some candles around, but some of the little statues that I have. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it until just now.
Well, and so this sharing helps you as you go on to teach, right? To just hear all the different types of shrines there can be. Agnieszka, what were you going to say?
What showed up for me was, oh my gosh, this cave with Virgin Mary in it, with the with the light behind it. Like, what's the name of this place when she showed up to three
Lourdes?
Kids? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I, as soon as you said it, I knew where you were.
Yeah.
I read those books as a kid.
Yeah. And so funny you said that, because during the meditation, I don't know if it was the first one or the second one, I had opened my eyes for a minute, so I was coughing, and Lisa Oregon, with her head with that thing back there.
Oh,
that's exactly what she looked like to me. I didn't have my glasses on, right? And so that's what I saw.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Kelsey, were you going to say something?
I'm honestly still thinking about my path up. I know it's taking us back a step, but can I share it out loud?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking my path climbing up, I didn't actually have much of a visualization of the path itself. It was almost like coming out and being like a bird's eye view. And I like pulled on, mine was very autumn centered. So I like really noticed like the colors were becoming brighter, like the air was becoming cooler. And as I'm sitting here processing, I'm like, I feel like I can't see my path as I'm on it now. And so I'm just trying to pull onto these like moments of brightness and like the good things as I'm climbing up. So I don't know. I'm thinking about that shrine wise. Mine was, I think, similar to Kathleen said, like, I had a little Buddha there and Guan Yin, and it was very stone, mossy, old. There was like a lantern, just very like.
Oh, so maybe more like Agnieszka. I think Kathleen said it was like her shrine in her house. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which has those things in it. So.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. All right. I get it. Okay. All right. And so then, okay, Brenda. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I couldn't make out what it was. So I knew that it was kind of like sparkly. And I, as I thought about it, I think it looked more like mirrors. It was very strange, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
Ah, and what do you know? You know that that's okay. And eventually it will come into focus. Could be a month, could be years, right? But that's, thank you for sharing that, because that is very real for lots of people. It's indistinct, right? Yes, thank you. Lisa Oregon, you're going to say something, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that my shrine, I didn't notice the shrine at first, and I didn't notice my path to it. But when I noticed, what I noticed first was like a whole bunch of baggage laying around. And then I noticed myself, and I was dirty and mud under my nails. And the sign said, let it go, stop doing. And it was a place, it was a very definite place where I gave up control and went to a different place. So that was kind of interesting to me to find that that was the heart center too, because that's been a source of a lot of problems.
Wow, Lisa. And good for you for just rolling with it, right? And not trying to control it or say, no, 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 that can't be, right? Good. Yeah. And my shrine, because I'm not a shrine person. I just don't do shrines. I never have. I've always been told you need to have one. I never set one up. I try it. Shrines, altars, don't work for me. And so mine was always just a little rock on a rock. And over the years, sometimes there will be like a Kuan Yin or something, but it's, you know, every one of us brings our stuff to it, right? And so my shrine was literally not a shrine. It was more the Hawaiian style where they just put a rock on a rock and that's like a little marker for you, you know? So, okay. So now here's what comes interesting. When I said, you see light dancing, dappling off the shrine, and you see a path going into the mountain. How many of you were on a path and you were still in the open air that led into the pool in the mountain? And how many of you went into, what is that called when you actually go into a cave in the mountain? What's it called? Shoot.
I went in a cave, but then you said you turned a bend and there was like trees and I was like, okay, I guess I'm not in a cave. So I hopped back out. Kind of like a hobbit thing.
That's sweet. Okay. So there's a name for this I thought I was going to remember it and I'm not. Can somebody Google it? It's like a big cavern and you go into it. And then there's water and there's a hole in the rock that it's like you can actually have a waterfall and then you can ascend up through the hole in the rock. Last class, I had quite a few people who that was theirs. Not this group. Nobody was in one of those things. Ramon's looking it up. Brenda.
No, I was. I didn't. I went. It's almost like when you said that I like went into the mountain.
Yeah. And so then. There was a pool still and a waterfall. And then was there an opening in that you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's.
Is it a sinkhole? Is that what you?
No, sinkhole goes down.
A subterranean waterfall, but I don't know if there's another name for that.
There's another name for it. Dina. I feel like texting Dina because somebody text Dina and ask her what's the name of that thing. It'll come to me. Think New Mexico. Think, red rock, big cavern. You know, it's like you go in, but then it opens up into this big thing and there's an opening that you can, I see all these people trying to Google. Somebody will find it. But at any rate, that's okay. You know, it's like, so that was my point I wanted to make because last year there were a lot of people in whatever this thing is called. And then with your pool, how many of you were able to, well, we found Ramon, your pool was contained, right? And it was clear. You could see to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Brenda, yours was shallow. Okay. Anybody else? What was your pool like? Kelsey, yeah.
Mine was like this. Mine was outside. So I like go around the curve and then there's like this rock alcove with this perfectly round, almost like what I imagine in Japan, like hot springs, the monkeys, like just very private. And there's little autumn leaves along the edges and it's not too shallow, but not too deep, but it felt very, just on the side of the mountain.
And did anybody have any, any adverse response to going into the pool and your clothes dissolving? Okay. So the clothes dissolving, right, is this you that you, this you, it's like you come into this life and you put on this persona. It's like you wake up in the morning and the clothes you wear are your identity. And so as the clothes dissolves, it's like you're letting go of your, how you identify yourself, how you, protect yourself, the sheaths that you put on to function in this plane. Is that? Mm-hmm. Agnieszka, you look quizzical.
I'm not sure I understand. I mean, can you repeat, please?
There is, in the world of mysticism, lots of times they'll say that we come into each life and it's like this life, we put on this body like we're putting on a set of clothes. And then we die and we come back and we put on a different set of clothes that it's like a different persona. And so the clothes are a symbol of who you are in this life, who you are in this life. And it's like you're letting all of that go and returning to this realm of spirit, of pure energy and light. That was a better explanation. Thank you for the question. So did that make sense to everybody? So all those years where I wouldn't have people dissolve their clothes, I would try and get around it by saying, and if you're in the pool, you know, I should probably ask, how did I say it? I mean, a lot of you have done Mountain Meadow with me. On the recording, do I say your clothes dissolve? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. See, that's Miss Lisa there. Treat me. So at any rate, if there's a way, I think it's an important little piece of the meditation, especially when you do it. You gauge your audience. If you're in a group, in a room, what I learned with Lisa was when you're in a room with a group, it's hard for some people to not be with those people somewhere in their aware, in their consciousness. And so in a group, in the room altogether, it might be nice to just leave that piece out, especially if you're with a heavily conservative, you know, Christian group or something like that. It's just a little aside. Yeah, Brenda.
Could you word it like, I'm worried if we put too much into it, but could you word it like, you know, letting go of burdens, or I was thinking of purifying, but that's got a whole laden term to it as well.
I would just not do it. You just dive into the pool and then the waterfall's going to clean them. It's like, yeah, it's, I mean, you now understand the importance of it, right? But you got to gauge your audience. This class I was just doing, we wrapped up. He usually teaches it. It's the first time he's ever taught to all of us who are members of Don Mountain, right? So we already had a strong Buddhist background, but he's in, Arkansas, and he's usually teaching to Christians. And he would explain to us how he would adapt what he's teaching, because compassion is compassion is compassion. But within that Christian context, we have to speak the language of the people we're with. If we try to speak mystic with conservative Christians, it's not going to fly, is it, Lisa? See that? No, it's not going to fly at all. We need to speak in their language. And so part of our journey as whether you're going to teach formally or just, you know, moving forward in your life as a meditator on this path is to make peace with the symbols of the different religions, so that when you're with somebody who Jesus is their person, you can be with Jesus as their person. My dear friend Brenda, when she died, Jesus is her person. And Jesus was the one, you know, waiting for her, right? And totally easy. I mean, it's now, there was a period in time where I was like Catholic, right? Because it was like I was having to figure things out. I had to figure out the mystical what's the deeper truth that Jesus represents, that Buddha represents. And we need to do that. And if somebody's, you know, a pagan or a Wiccan, or, you know, it's like, speak their language. It's all the same underneath all of it. It's about love. It's about kindness. It's about sameness. Yeah. So those were important little pieces I wanted to get out there. So now we're in the waterfall, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory, right? With everything you've learned now. Yeah, Lisa. Yeah.
Before we move on, I just wanted to share the pool for me was really important because it represented clarity. It was really deep, like Kelsey's, like the Yellowstone, but it was clarity and it was truth and it was purity. And when I was eager to jump in, I was eager for my clothes to dissolve because I just wanted everyone to see me. You know, and which was extremely helpful when I got to the waterfall, because as things washed, things passed before my eyes, through my heart, that I didn't want to see, that I could go back to that pool and remember while I was in the waterfall.
Oh, nice. Nice. And that is that importance, right? Of it being so clear. We can see everything, right? Yes. Yes. And so I think the important thing that we train ourselves for, and if you can figure out how to communicate it, is we are trusting it. This is not a conscious process. When the light is washing down, it's not conscious. We're trusting, and you just feel like, oh, little darkness, heaviness here. Okay. We're moving through, oh, a little bit there. And it's literally a place of letting go of this and trusting the energy, because that comes back to this idea that the energy knows. The energy knows. And so we learn to follow it. Okay. And then from there, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Once we're, it's like we've let go of this. Oh, go ahead, April. Yeah.
Can you just clarify again what the light is of the waterfall?
It's astral water. Astral water is astral light. It's like the sign of Aquarian. Where's our Aquarians here? April, Kathleen. Yeah, I think you're that water that's being poured out of the jug is astral water. This is, so it's the prana. It's the energy, the pure energy that's just flowing down. It's when the Brahmaranda, when the thousand petal lotus is open, that's the grace, or the grace. Maybe that's another way to look at it too, right? Is flowing through. And it's intelligent light. It's intelligent grace. That's how it knows. And it's that connection of that's where we connect to the universal mind, or the ultimate reality, the ultimate truth, as opposed to just being in our little everyday conscious minds. Yeah. And from there, we rise up to the high place. The top of the mountain is your high place. It's the high place. And from there, we joined with the Ishta. You don't do that if you're in a group that doesn't have an Ishta, doesn't have any idea of what that is. At that point, you just go to the top of the mountain and you rest there. You have options. Sometimes I'll have people breathe Hong Sa at the top of the mountain. You know, sometimes you just sit there and then go back to the meadow. Sometimes you sit there, and I love looking around from this high place. You can see that everything is just as it should be. It's that perspective to just stop worrying and just trust that life, there's something far bigger than us that is running this show, you know? So there you are. You've been initiated. This is called a transmission. You have been initiated into Mountain Meadow Waterfall. And if we were in the Tibetan tradition, I would read it from start to finish. I would read the whole thing really fast. I would go, imagine yourself in the meadow and you're walking around and you're smelling the smells and feeling the earth and the wind on your cheek and the sun on your skin. And then you turn to your left and you see the trees and the path and you follow. Actually, I'm going to do it. And you just close your eyes and just accept it. And you descend along the path. And as you descend along the path, you can feel it getting cooler and cooler. The trees get closer together and closer together. And you continue to descend deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And as you come to the bottom of the forest, the path levels out and you can see the little stream forming next to you. And as you walk along this path, you look ahead and you see rays of light breaking through the branches of the trees, and you move towards these rays of light. And as you do, you see the trees thin and the forest. You come to the edge of the forest and you see the mountain before you, your mountain, and you begin to follow the path up the mountain, and you follow it up, up, up. Did you come to that place about halfway up the mountain? And there you pause to rest and you see a shrine left by travelers before you. And as you gaze at this shrine, you see temples of light just sparkling off that shrine. You look for the source of the light and you see it coming. You see a path and you follow that path. And as you follow the path, you see the light dappling off the sides of the path, and you come around the bend, and there before you is a pool, a crystal clear pool of water. You can see clear to the bottom, but this pool is shallow or as deep as you want. And as you gaze into it, the water is so still, you can see your reflection. And you choose to dive in. And as you dive in, the water is the perfect temperature for you. And your clothes dissolve. And here you rest in this pool of crystal cool water. And as you rest here in the clarity and the purity, healing water. You look to your left and you see a waterfall, and you make your way over to the waterfall, and you stand underneath the center of the waterfall, and there's a waterfall stone around you, cleansing, cleaning, healing. You realize that these are waters of light, and the waters of light enter in through the top of your head, and as they come down through the top of your head, they carry out all the negativity, the worry, the fear, the heaviness, the darkness, and you let it wash through, cleansing you, purifying you. And in those places that were dark and heavy, it's now light, light, and you're filled with this light, saturating every cell, every cell, every cell. And as it does, you become light. And in that lightness, you lift, lift, and you ascend up, 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 up through the waterfall. And as you emerge at the top of the waterfall, you see your mountaintop above you, in front of you, and now you effortlessly float, float up to the top of the mountain. And as you come to rest at the top of the mountain, your Ishta is there to greet you. You bow to your Ishta, and you allow the grace and the light and the radiance and the love from your Ishta to flow into you. And as you rest here with your Ishta, you can gaze at the world. You see the world below you, far below. And from here, this high place, you can see that everything is just as it should be. Everything is perfect. And you rest here for a few moments with your Ishta. And as it's time to leave, you bow, thanking your Ishta, and you float, and you come back to the meadow, bringing with you everything you've learned, everything you've gained, everything you've experienced, and you bring that with you into your daily world, into your everyday life. Boom, boom, boom. You have received the transmission. It is complete. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And that's how it's done in the Tibetan tradition. It's called the transmission, initiation. Mm-hmm. And you have received it. And from our lineage, from the Kriya Yoga lineage. So with that, what if we take a little break? And that kind of completes the formal part of the program. Yeah, Agnieszka.
I have a quick question. I had a resistance towards looking in at my reflection in the water. Is this part necessary, and why?
I think what we do, is it necessary? No. No. I mean, sometimes I do it and it's there. Sometimes I do it, it's not there. But I think from time to time, try it. And just see what comes up, you know, and resistance is fine. You just notice it. You did exactly right. You just notice the resistance. And right, this is what you've learned. Your experience is your experience. There's nothing wrong with it. You just notice it. And who knows, you know, in a year or two, you might look in and you might see something you weren't expecting, right? We don't know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Any other questions then before we wrap this up? I forgot. Yeah, Kelsey. Yeah.
Seems important to look to the left each time.
Well, here's why. Because in our being, the right is the physical world and the left is the subtle realms, the astral realms. So when we go to the left, we're going deeper, deeper into that other realm. And that other realm, remember, in our world is the precursor. It's like the other realm comes first. In the subtle realm, in the astral realm, it has to be there before it can manifest in the physical plane. And so we keep going deeper and deeper into that realm, into that consciousness. Does that answer it? Okay. Lisa, yeah.
Can I speak with you at the break?
Sure. All right, everybody, let's take, do you want 10 minutes, 50 minutes? How many of you need to get food? Those of you in the Midwest probably need lunch, right? So let's take 15 minutes. We'll come back at the half hour. And so get some food, bring some treats back, and then the fun will begin.
All right. Karen?
Yes.
Are we going to have a longer break today or no?
Well, I would like to do more like a 15 minute and then another 15 minute, because I know it's scheduled to be a long day, but my hope is that we can keep it moving along.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I have an enormous capacity to sit for hours, which not everybody does. So
I'm okay. I just wanted to know how to prepare.
Let's plan on 15 minutes max. Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Good question, Agnieszka. All right. Okay. Lisa, do you want to move into a breakout room? Is it private?
Sure. Yes. Okay. If we can, that would be great.
Let me see if I can get it.
Really fast.
Wait, first let me stop the recording.